What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to Apologia Radio. If you're listening in your car or on them internets at home in Arizona, live, wherever, we're on 1360 KPXQ. You can get us at apologiaradio.com, A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A, radio.com. This is your host, Jeff Durbin, the ninja. That's what they call me. That's the bear over there, and that is girl over there. What are you doing?
What's that?
What's Jeremy?
That's a Go Ninja Go sign.
Go Ninja. He even wrote up a whole sign for me over there. It says Go Ninja Go. See? Jeremy knows. You can't argue with J-Man. That's all there is. Luke.
J-Man. Dude, what was with that flash dance you were just doing over there during the intro?
You like my dance? Oh, I was doing...
flash dance.
You didn't recognize what I was doing?
It was flash dance.
No, it was a specific dance that I was doing over there. You don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was the angry dance. The Brit?
No.
Flash dance? Anger dance?
No, it's just different. No, there's this movie, Luke. There's this movie.
Oh, yeah?
And J-Man, let me get some of this over here. And there's this movie.
Genuine Holy Ghost, Jesus filled preaching machine here this morning.
Woo!
I tell you, Glory. I'm a genuine Holy Ghost, Jesus filled preaching machine here this morning.
This is me before the show started.
You didn't have your keys.
This is how I warm up.
He's God here in this radio station.
Right?
He's God in Georgia.
In this radio
He's
station.
In Tennessee.
That's what I say.
He's God in the pool.
Joy.
He's God at the front
in the pulpit.
Door.
Front
He's
door.
God in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And yea, though I walk, Woo! I say yea, though I walk.
Yeah.
I say yea, though I walk.
Welcome.
To the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Ha!
Now, why do I say this?
Tell me.
Oh, why? Because I got Holy Ghost power here today.
Right.
We're
going
to have a Holy
Glory.
Ghost explosion. We got a shock circuit the devil here Woo! Today. And
Joy.
The Holy Ghost is our power line to heaven.
Yep.
Dude, this here's a shouting show.
It is a shouting show. Did you the dance? I'm like, I had a long night last night, guys. Tire blown, car destroyed, situation going on.
Car was
so I'm
really
exhausted. But so I might say things in this show that I wouldn't otherwise say. I'm a little punchy right now. But I was doing a little dance from the Apostle.
You
know what I'm talking about? When they had the revival
meeting.
Yeah,
but you didn't have the keys, so I was
And the dude,
off.
The black dude's outside wiping the sweat off his brow.
I didn't know what it was. I've never seen that movie.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Where did that come from?
That's from that scene. Luke,
Oh, yes. That's after. It's actually the next scene.
I don't know
scene.
Because I've never seen it.
I'm greatly disappointed.
No.
Pastor Luke.
You should correct yourself and say it's in the next scene. Because it's not in that Zach scene.
It's not in that Zach scene, but it later.
See, here's the deal. We've had some very hard, serious shows lately.
Yes.
So it's time to kick back a little bit.
Let's introduce our guest, our buddy. He's a little side host here today. Anthony Linares, the comedian.
Glory.
What's up,
You dude? Know I don't speak Spanish.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
What's going on, everybody? How What's you guys
up?
Doing?
What's up, man? Hey, so you guys might recognize Anthony. He's been on the show with us before. He is he's at our church. He is an apologiite.
Apologian.
I'm getting the tattoo next week.
Apologian?
Hey, no, for Ray, you know, it's funny. You mentioned tattoo. There's a dude
that
initially came to Apology at Church, like 1 week, and the next week he came back. He's like, "Hey, Pastor Jeff, lifted his shirt up. Apologia, the logo was tattooed on his arm." I was like, "Oh, that's some commitment. You haven't even signed the membership paperwork yet."
Like, we're not gonna pay for advertising.
Right. So where are we at?
Okay. So
you mentioned the shows. We had some deep shows.
So oh, yeah. I was going to play my song for Anthony.
He has a song for
Okay, play
Anthony.
The song for Anthony.
Okay. I want this to be official, though. If you're going to introduce me right.
Okay, well, how?
Well, I want Luke to go ahead and just be serious about this. This is nothing to laugh about.
It's a serious moment right now. It's a
I don't
serious
know what you're
eye contact.
About, well, Anthony and his wife are expecting a daughter.
Right.
Woo! Yeah.
A big party on Monday.
Right.
He had tacos and...
It was good cat, wasn't it?
It was good cat. Gato tacos.
Right?
Yeah, that was good. It was very good, yeah.
Appreciate it.
And then the knife they used to skin the cat, he used to open up the present, which was kind of strange.
That's true. He didn't pop any balloons with it either.
Anyways, I have a song for you that I recorded of him singing to announce that it was a girl at the party. Him and his wife did. Yeah. Okay, so ready?
Go ahead.
And all the children are gone.
What?
Something good inside me helps me to carry on. I ate some bugs, I ate some grass, I used my hand to wipe my tears, to kiss your mouth.
Joey's actually got tears in her eyes right now. Joey's actually crying.
You don't know where this is from?
No.
Nacho Libre?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was from your party.
Vows together. Encarnacion.
This was actually Judith and I's wedding song.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Nice.
We can just talk.
Okay.
That's the best part.
Good. Is there any music? Okay.
All right.
Oh, Jamie's doing it.
Brings back
memories. Okay, anyways, that was it.
All right. Oh, cut that, and then we'll okay.
Okay, we're good.
All right, good. So, all right, so over the last 2 weeks, we did some two pretty heavy episodes. Really want to encourage you guys to go check them out. If you go to apologiaradio.com or if you go to iTunes and subscribe to Apologia Radio, you can get the past episodes for free. You can download them. You can share them on your social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, whatevs. But get them there. Last two episodes, we did episodes responding to a woman who on her YouTube channel produced a video in support of Emily Letts, who recorded herself getting an abortion, posted that online. It was a talk of the town media. And so this video came across my way, and it said, this is what caught my eye, it said, "I love abortion in support of Emily Letts." So we did a show responding to her show. We invited her multiple times to be on the show with us to defend her video, to have a dialogue, and even at some points, because she was getting on the radio page making comments galore, we invited her to actually come on and discuss her atheism. She calls herself an atheist. She calls herself a feminist, and on and on. And we invited her on the show to discuss those things. She refused every offer we had to be on the show. She'd ended up doing a response video, a Google Hangout, that was honestly, it was just a mess. It wasn't really a response. It was just sort of a lot of mocking. Typically what happens in this culture today, it's so emotionally driven in argumentation. When you provide a coherent, rational response, there's not a lot of engagement back that's sort of in the same vein. You get sort of what's more like,
Bell!
It's kind of the response, just the emotional. Yeah. I mean, the response, like, we'd like to hear your response. What is it, please?
Bell!
I mean, it really was just kind of an emotionally driven, not responsive kind of engagement. So we did one more show, finishing up the original video and responding to a few of her comments in the last one. Now, to her credit, she did apologize for the misrepresentation that she had in the video. She did offer an apology, said she was wrong. And so I appreciate that very, very much. I appreciate the humility and I appreciate the correction and consider it done. It's a done deal. She did offer another response. So here's where our position is on it for now.
Yeah.
We've invited her multiple times. She is invited on the show to have the discussion live. What I told her was no more hiding in Facebook comment boxes. That's not helpful. It's not in real ultimately engagement. There's a lot of evading going on, things like that. So she is invited on the show. As far as we're concerned, this is a done issue, but she is invited on the show. Again, she's refused multiple invitations to be on the show. So that's where that lies. She is invited on the show. Her name is Natural Mama. That's her handle on YouTube. She's invited on the show. Otherwise, I think the issue is settled. People can go and look at the content for themselves, both on our page and Natural Mama on YouTube. You can check out the responses and encourage you to do so. Pastor Luke, I know you got some stuff going on. You got some comments, right, on the old iTunes?
I do.
Let's get it.
One more. While I'm pulling it up here, I got a good beard story while I'm pulling it up.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
Right?
I don't know what that means. so we were watching The Incredible Hulk the other day, or as my daughter says, no, how does she say it? Toddable Hook.
Toddable Hook?
Yeah.
Speaking Spanish.
Anyways, so Bruce Banner is shaving, and she goes, what's that?
What's that man doing?
My wife's like, he's shaving. She's like, oh, that's weird.
Good girl.
I was very proud. Okay, so spiritually challenging is the subject title from Amy V. Thoughts with our listeners. I love this show. The show is driven by biblical principles.
I feel warm inside.
The topics are relevant to current world issues, and the hosts are reliable in the truth they speak. The host...
Glory.
It's actually a good comment.
The hosts dive deep into cultural issues that intertwine between the non-believing worlds and the Christian world. Mm. They debate and discuss and win with many intellectual atheists, Mormons, agnostics, and Jehovah's Witnesses. They do so in a respectful, loving, and meaningful way. This show is not humdrum and monotonous. In fact, it often goes off track on the on one subject and comes right back around again 30 minutes later.
True dat. 30 minutes.
Just like...
Accurate assessment.
Just like when one goes to Google something about optimal beard growth and finds themselves on the WikiHow page about being a ninja. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Definitely check this show out. Get stronger in biblical knowledge and truth. And last but not least... throw that fanny pack away.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Coming up next segment, fanny pack smack.
We're going to talk about it. Do you guys want to know what J-Man's doing the entire time behind you right now?
Huh.
Holding his fanny pack up?
No. No. He keeps giving me a little card that's like, it's like a shouting thing. It's like a banner. Go, ninja, go. I have a cheering section. That's why I love J-Man.
A single.
For real.
Fan.
No. J-Man's not our only fan.
No, a fan of you calling yourself the ninja.
That's not true. Someone made a meme.
You did.
I did not. I did no such thing. This is lies.
You like your own status as Jeff?
Actually, if you like your own status, it gets in your friend's feed better. It's a little social media tactic. I want to use that with your comedian stuff. Be like, I'm so funny. Click, and then like everyone sees it, and they're like, what a jerk.
We'll be right back.
Yes.
Apology Radio will be right back.
Trouble so hard, don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
What's up, y'all? Go to the American Vision, AmericanVision.com. Pick up some resources, excellent books, audio, video resources for you to get equipped, to equip your family in a Christian worldview. There's eschatology, apologetics, Christian worldview, Christian history stuff, important stuff on the law of God. Go to AmericanVision.com. Check them out, guys. Also, go to our other sponsor, Whitfield.edu. If you are interested in expanding your biblical education, go to Whitfield.edu, either for personal growth. You're going to get an intense and rigorous theological education and training. Or if you're thinking about ministry one day, you can't really do better than Whitfield.edu. Call our friend Kenneth Talbot at Whitfield.edu. We're back with the bear, the girl, and the comedian.
Linares.
Linares.
The comedian, Anthony Linares. Thanks, all right, good, everybody.
There you go. Yeah, hello, hello. All right. All right, so we have a little situation that has popped its reared its ugly head once again. Do we...
It's like whack-a-mole, dude.
It really is. I mean, if you consider the fact that, like, you know, we were over and done with this. Like, we talk about them now and then. We mess with their mailbacks. We mess with their mailbacks. You know what I'm saying there? Tony Spaghetti. I Donnie Frovelnese. How you doing? Look here. Just been out cooter in my doddle. That's all I'm saying I'm doing right now. Okay.
When you call me, that's what you told me.
Yeah. My son, just real fast. My son, Turtle, we live by a mountain. And I live by a van down by the river.
Most of us in Arizona do live by
a mountain. Yeah, but I live right on the edge of a mountain. We're driving by the mountain the other day. The sun's going down. We're taking a little drive on the side. And my five-year-old goes, I wouldn't want to live in the mountains, Dad. I said, why? He goes, I wouldn't want to get bit by the coyotes. He said coyotes. And he said it to be funny because, you know, I'll joke around. I'll be like, diabetes. And so he said, all on his own, special five-year-old son of mine goes, I wouldn't want to get bit by the coyotes. Coyotes. So anyway, back to the subject at hand. We really have nothing to do with this anymore, and they just keep coming at us. I think it's just really good for their ratings. We've got friends, really close friends over at Fanny Pack Radio, and they just can't let it go. You've got Ice Vocab. You've got The Godfather, and you've got Urkel, Pastor V.
V-neck.
Urkel,
Pastor V-neck.
Pastor V. Urkel, The Godfather, and then Ice Vocab, right?
No.
Over at Fanny Pack Radio.
No,
just continue on with the subject. Okay, continue on. Next, go ahead. Yes?
Go ahead.
You were saying? Go ahead.
Okay, so.
So they were talking about us.
Yeah, which they do, like, every show.
It's like we can't get out. Of, can't get us out of their head.
They can't get
you out of my head. That's a song, right? I told you.
They've gotten a small boost in ratings since they started talking about us, but they're still nowhere near.
They're all Apologia Radio listeners.
Yeah, and they talk about before this one about the play. They talk about how they have about 200 shows, so they've got considerably more than us.
Shows.
Yeah, they've been on for a while.
They've been on for
like they've been on for 20 years. Yeah. They have 300 likes.
Yeah, but when you're only 6 minute long shows, it's not that. It's like a commercial.
Yeah.
I actually listened to the show on 1.5 speed today so I can make sure I got everything. And the show was done in like 2 minutes.
I know. Well, the thing is, too, is like they're spending valuable time. Like us right now, we could just sit, watch this. Mm-hmm. You see, we can do that because it's Apologia Radio. We have all this time to kill, right?
Yeah.
And they could, if they did that, they'd be like, we're done. Our show's over.
Yeah.
Like there was our show. It's gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yep. Exactly. So you'll see a lot of their comments are driven out of jealousy.
All right, please.
Okay, here we go.
For putting those up, uploading those every week, and even adding artwork to make it more
that was a thanks to G Will.
Appealing.
G Will's
and
the
so
man.
Thanks, G Will, for running
we
that.
We love you, G Will.
Can we have them categorized to see if we have any favorite topics for...
The only way I know how to do it, I know there has to be a smarter way to do it, is essentially go through and look at shows and essentially see the number of hits on each one. Mm. So hits... I believe are a combined total of downloads and people that listen live from the site, and you can kind of see. For us, once they get over, say, 1,000, it's pretty good. You know, it's nothing compared to Apologia.
Nope. That's true.
But once we get
Apologia,
they...
Are they still on?
Yeah, they are. They were making fun of us recently.
They were.
Bob. I mean, do you want to hear it? I mean,
I do.
You do? That's what you want to do?
Was it making fun of me again or not?
I think they said something about you. So, you know, we have a friendly, like, rivalry here with another program. Let me take out this, Jeremy, and plug it in another place. Another program here on the station. They're called Apologia. They're also, I think they promote themselves as an apologetic show, although it's sort of got more of a morning show type feel, wouldn't you say?
Oh,
because we can burn. We have the time.
Well, it might be apologetics light.
Mm. Yeah,
I think they could go for that.
So here's what they said about us, if I'm in the right spot.
Hey, Bob's awake.
Let me try
That's
to
good.
Find it. Jeremy, are you... playing it.
Interesting.
I was listening the other day, and he had our atheist friend on. Which he stole from us again. Another guest. Andre.
Okay.
Andre Soleil. And Vocab called us appalling radio.
Hmm.
Appalling.
Interesting. Yeah. Appallingly good.
Yes. And then they talked again about how long our show is. And that's just them being jealous because they have like a 15-minute long show.
Say.
Yeah, I think it's like 15 minutes. They record a whole month of shows in one hour. But I mean, that's easy to do when it's just Vocab talking and you get Vermont every once in a while say something. Bob's snoring half the time, so yeah, just like that. So check out Backpacker Radio. We love them even though they talk smack.
Seriously. Well, obviously we talk smack,
and
too.
Did I say backpack? I meant fanny pack.
Oh. Yeah, you've been calling them Backpack Radio the whole the segment.
How dare
That's
you.
Because they've been trying to change their perception. But it is fanny pack. And I've been listening too much to them and their lies.
You know we're committed to truth here on Apologia Radio. Yes. So it is fanny pack.
We love you, fanny pack, backpack, Vocab.
Your mom.
ApologiaRadio.com.
So you weren't here, but when I...
Where was Jeff? He was pretty silent there.
Jeff was not there. That's why the other hosts were actually able to talk.
I see. So
that's from one of their recent shows And when you weren't here, Pastor Bob, I was debating an atheist, and we joked about our mutual friends, Apologia Radio, and I called them Appalling Radio, just, you know, real quick. And I mean, if you could see in the studio, see where our radio box is, where we get mail. See where it says Backpack Radio? The mature juveniles over there at Apologia Radio have crossed out where it says back and put fanny pack. So in a marker, it says fanny pack radio there because we have the same mail room here at the studio. We have not defaced theirs at all.
Defaced?
I wonder if they get any mail.
It looks like there's something in there. It looks like...
Is there?
I think I put that in there, though.
Yeah, okay. Bob put something in there about the diabetes.
They would appreciate a check.
They would appreciate it.
All right. Well, so that's what was going on there with Apologia Radio. And anyways, what were you talking about before that? Were we going to do some
good to go?
Yeah.
That was low down.
I think they say something else, but I'll find it later.
That was low down. Defacing?
Yeah.
Talking? Me doing all the talking? I don't do all the talking. Matter of fact, you can listen to all the episodes. I usually say, please, guys, jump in here. Please, guys, jump in here. And sometimes, you know, we do and sometimes we don't. You know what I'm saying?
What?
What?
Am I allowed to talk?
Yes. Please, you have my permission. J-Man, I need some cheering right now. My heart is hurting. Give me the go ninja go. No? Okay. Yeah. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Let me just say this right now. Fanny Pack Radio.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
All right. That's all I'm saying. It's coming.
Like a freight train.
It's coming. What's that from? Real quick, come on. Test. I'll be your Huckleberry.
I know. Tombstone.
Good job. Thank you. Very good. ApologiaRadio.com. Joy.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Apologia Radio, get us on iTunes, subscribe to us there, share an episode on your social media, get the word out. You can join us in this movement of getting the gospel into the culture in a relevant way, in a faithful way, hard-hitting way. ApologiaRadio.com, there is a donate tab there on the page. If you are blessed by this show, let me encourage you guys, go to that page and give to support this ministry as you listen, as you're blessed by it, as you share it. As we get the gospel into the world, as we bring the gospel against the hard parts of the culture when it comes to atheistic thought, agnostic thought, skeptical thought, secular thought, all of that. And so, quick thing, cool guy that came to Christ, Jehovah's Witness came to Christ, is now at our church, came across country, now lives here. He's part of our church family now. Yesterday, after being in conversation for a week with some more missionaries, yesterday runs into the same missionaries. One of the missionaries tell the other missionary to go. I'll catch up with you later. That missionary ends up turning to Christ.
Wow.
At McDonald's, takes off his name tag and tie.
Get something to eat.
Right there. You got something to eat, too. Yeah. Well, can you believe it? Right? It's a praise God. That's huge. Awesome. That's huge. Awesome. 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 Amazing. Amazing. So I'm super excited about that. Here we go. We got 6 minutes here in the segment. Let me let you know what's up for this episode today so you know what you're looking forward to. We're going to play clips from sort of epic moments of Christian atheist debate. We've got some stuff here as we have time for. We're going to do some Douglas Wilson. We got some Greg Bonson stuff. We're going to see if we can go through. Stay tuned. We're going to play just little pieces that are like the classic moments. Classic moments of atheist Christian debates. Joy, are you okay? How you doing? Good?
Yeah.
You look a little weepy tired today.
I'm tired.
Yeah, weepy tired.
I'm tired.
You need some protein?
Your eyes are like, you know, like, you look like you're like tearing up because you're so tired.
Yeah.
But you fighting to be here? I'm glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're here.
I don't know. I'm trying to not get too crazy, not get too punchy.
I would like you to get a little more punchy.
How much energy do you get from lettuce wraps?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. You know, want to know what I had for breakfast this morning?
What?
Gato?
I had 2 poached eggs. So there's your protein, okay?
I don't know what a poached egg is.
Does that mean you were like hunting them illegally?
Yeah, I was poaching them.
Yeah, right?
It's not hard because eggs just sit there, you know, in the carton.
It's true.
Innocent eggs.
I'm just sitting here trying not to speak because I don't let anybody else talk.
Oh, poor you.
I can tell you're really struggling.
Yeah. All right. I'm back. Okay. All right. Here we go. Top 10 Christian cliches we should probably stop using unless we really mean it. Top 10 Christian cliches we should probably stop using unless we really mean it. And commentary, please. Number 1, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Oh, bless your heart.
Usually say that to ugly people.
Yeah. That's good. Everyone knows this really means, well, that was a stupid move, but you're not really self-aware enough to see it. So bless your heart. All right. I'll pray for you.
Yeah, but we should
pray for
that.
You. Yeah, but the thing is like you should stop saying it unless you really mean it.
Yeah.
Unless you're I'll pray. It's actually,
I got you.
That's actually a good spiritual thing. Yeah. Yeah, don't be saying that if you're not.
As Bodie Bauckham would say, if you can't say amen, say ouch.
Yeah, nice. Oh, ouch. I don't feel led. It says, be honest, you probably just don't want to do it.
Yep.
I just don't feel led. You just don't want to do it. Here we go. This is good. Hedge of protection.
Yeah.
Come from this phrase comes from Job 1. It's very King Jamesy of you to use it, but this catchphrase sounds more like cliche than meaningful. Just say what you mean. You want God to protect them. Like that, the clip from Tim Hawkins where he's like, Lord, we just pray for a hedge of protection around them. He's like, a hedge? Like, how about a wall? Like, why a hedge? You like, all right. Next, when God closes a door, he opens a window. What does this mean? Oh, and sometimes, well, he just shuts the door. Boom, done, deal.
Yeah.
You can't say that to homeless people, though.
good.
good.
Oh, this one. I actually love this one. Overusing Father God in prayer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Yes.
A lot of people, Father God and Father God and Father God and Father God, Father
God.
Or
Lord God.
It's like 10 times, it's like you say it twice in 10 seconds, you've overused it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't use that your name. I'm not talking to Joy. I go, Joy, see, the thing is, Joy, I just want to tell you, Joy, I wonder what you joy and a joy and joy. You don't do that in normal conversation. Why do we do it to God? Father God, right. Father God, Father God. That's good. This one right here, big one. Ask Jesus into your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the Bible.
Yeah.
What we mean is repent and believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Holla. Joy, the apostle. Get it.
Glory.
Glory.
Apology Radio will be right back.
A memoranda? Is that what it is? Brother, memoranda, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, propaganda. I'm sorry. Please forgive me with the forgiveness of the Lord. Look, my name is Dr. Bishop Holton III, Jr., pastor of the Mountain Dew Missionary Baptist Church of God in Christ of the greater Riverside area. I just want to say that that new album blessed my soul, brother. I don't even know if you know, but I had to use it in my Sunday morning service. See, I told the congregation that this album right here was named directly after the Denzel Washington movie, Crimson Tide. See, it's kind of like an audio sequel with Denzel and Jesus starring in it, but going to war against the devil. Now, it's called Crimson Cord. Oh, I see. Well, it doesn't matter. It's the same difference. But I like Crimson Cord. That's even better. Because the Bible says that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 1, that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that all the disciples was in one place, in one accord, or like in this case, I like to say crimson cord, or in layman's terms, a brick red Honda Accord. Do you hear me? See, I don't know if it was a two-door or if it was a four-door, but what I know is that they was riding for Jesus. They said, Jesus, go on and take the wheel.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. That was a shout-out to the new Propaganda album that came out last week. Who's actually here tonight in Tempe?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Jeff
right,
and I
yeah.
met him at that conference in March, I think. So
yeah, yeah. Ignite. Excited. Yeah, it was really cool. He did his famous gospel
yeah, spoken
situation.
Word gospel.
Was it before or after me? He did it right after
I can't
me.
Remember. I think it was after, yeah.
Yeah, so Propaganda. Yes. All right, y'all. So we're back. Apologia Radio. Joy, did you have something, or are we good to go? We're ready to move forward.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes. Move forward with what?
I'm kind of frightened by... Are you good? Oh.
She's not wearing her shark shirt today.
I'm not.
Go ahead, Joy. Here she comes. No, as you can see, I got all kinds of new sound clips. I'm just excited to use them.
You're just excited.
So I'm just throwing
yeah.
them out there, like, you know.
Yes, just swimming shirt. With bow-legged women.
Like that one.
Yeah, all right, all right. So you want to wait till maybe next segment, and we'll do the atheist stuff on this one. It's totally up to you, because, see, I want to make sure that it's your show as well.
Okay. I mean, whatever you want to do is fine.
Let's play a clip,
it's
shall we?
It's interesting that we're planning this out on air
it's
as opposed
just,
to off air.
I want to make sure
that's
that,
how we roll.
I want to make, we well, the thing is I want to make sure that listeners to this show that are critical of this show,
uh-huh.
not that there really are any, you know, retired hip-hop artists that, you know, spend time throwing jabs my way. I want to make sure they hear me saying, this is your show, Joy.
Oh, okay.
So what would you like to do? You good with this?
Yeah, that's
we'll
fine.
We'll do what I want to do. How's that?
Okay.
All right, guys. So this is a clip from Dan Barker versus Douglas Wilson on should religion and government be kept strictly separate, I think is what it's called. It's excellent. If you just go to Google Dan Barker versus Douglas Wilson, religion and government, MP3, you're going to be able to get it for free. There's two of them, two parts. This is from the second hour, and it's just a portion of a clip. There's so much. Dan Barker and Douglas Wilson did an awesome debate on the Trinity, there's a God, the Bible exists essentially, and it was epic. And we might even get to that too. But this one is really cool. It's just a portion. It's not the whole argument, but basically Dan Barker's like, I want to know why. How can you believe the Bible? How can you believe the Bible? And what Douglas Wilson does here, interestingly, is he just goes to sort of like, let's start at the very bottom, because he's already dealt with Wilson on the major epistemological points. So he goes, I'm going to just deal with this one now. And here it is. It's really good.
The reason I believe them, I'll just start at this. This is probably the simplest place to start. John, in 1 John chapter 5, he says, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible is given to us so that our estrangement from God, our alienation, our loneliness, our sinfulness, our rebellion, fundamentally our sin problem, can be washed away.
But how do you know that's true? How do you know those words are true? Who told you they're true? Who told you you must believe what 1 John says? Where did that idea come from?
Well, there are two ways to answer this. I'll give you the simplest answer. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and am a practicing Christian because I was brought up in a Christian home and my mother spanked me faithfully.
I can see it in your eyes.
That's why I believe. I was brought up by Christian parents who loved God and loved me and loved others. And Jesus says, by this you will know, will all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. And I would say that's the basic authentication of the Christian message to the watching world. We don't know how to love in our own power and our own authority. We're a pack of sinners. We bite and devour and
fight. But you're not answering the question. How do you know any of that is true? You're just spouting what the Bible says, assuming that it's true, assuming that those theocrats who wrote it back then knew what they were talking about. How do you know they were not lying to you? How do you know that? Your mother spanked you? Violence again? Religious violence is what?
Yes. No, not only was it religious violence perpetrated upon my person, it was religious violence that was highly justified and called for.
Well, just
I'm sure you agree with that.
Well, just turn the other cheek, you know.
Which I did. This is deteriorating.
So that's just a funny moment in their debate. If you listen to the debate they did on the triune God of does the triune God of Scripture live, check that out. That's also free online. MP3, Wilson versus Barker, does the triune God of Scripture live? Wilson does a spectacular job in the beginning of laying down the foundations of epistemology, of proof, and essentially shows that you cannot prove anything apart from God as your foundation. You can't know anything apart from God as your foundation, apart from starting with His Word. But in this point here, it was really cool because he took a different route just to answer the simple, practical answer. Because now, believe me, Wilson has already destroyed the foundations of Barker in their previous debate, and even in this debate on government. But in this particular portion, I love how Wilson many times can bring things to such a simple level. That's really what he's doing here. Mm-hmm. That's not the punch of his argument, epistemologically speaking, but he's talking about the sense, well, how come I'm a Christian? It's because I had Christian parents that preached the gospel to me and loved me and spanked me, pointed me to Christ. So that was really cool. But so that was a fun moment. Comments on that? I want to make sure I let everyone speak in the radio studio.
He might also say because he was sprinkled as an infant.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go there.
Yeah. Chad, we love him too much.
Marcus.
We're not going to have the debate. No.
No.
We're too...
Yeah.
United everywhere else.
Yeah.
Anthony, would you like to say anything regarding that clip? Anybody else?
No.
No? Okay. Joy?
Okay, Joy, you got your list?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yes.
Unless you were, I'm sorry.
No, we have lots more, guys. We have some fun ones, too. We got some with Dr. White. We got some with Bonson. So
that was a funny clip.
Mine's not very long. Okay. This is just some of them, you know, I'm not going to read because they're inappropriate. But these are questionable life hacks you probably shouldn't try. So all over the internet, there are these things that are called life hacks.
Yes.
That basically tell you, like, easier ways to do certain things or whatever. So these, you can tell me if you guys think these are questionable or not, or if this is something you might do. Life hack. Drive your car into the ocean for a free car wash. Yes? No?
No.
One time only?
Instantly lose 5 kilos by cutting off your head.
That's
There's no... words in this one. It's just a picture of a girl with jelly beans in her belly button. I'm assuming that means keep food in
store
your belly
them
button.
There. Store them there.
For later.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
Anthony could fit a whole lot of jelly beans in his belly button.
So could your mom.
Wow.
Whoa.
Good.
Okay.
He must be listening.
Avoid wasting time brushing your teeth by simply adding toothpaste to your food instead.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
Add a touch of magic to your cold by putting glitter in your mouth before you sneeze.
That's good.
That one's not questionable. You should do that.
Yeah, that's good.
When someone you hate speaks to you, just look at them dead in the eye and shout, "Nobody asked you, Patrice."
What?
Carry thousands of spiders in your bag and throw them at whoever treats you badly. This one's my favorite. Life hack 376. While in the shower, think about high school to conjure crippling feelings of regret and embarrassment. That's my favorite one.
Obviously.
If you can't find a bookmark, just use ketchup instead.
Nice.
I've seen Jeff's books. He does that.
Ketchup? Yeah, so they get kind of messy. That's not, that's
keep
not
changing colleges and get free Amazon Prime. die to get out of your student loan debt.
Amen.
That's it.
Well, that is
Dr. Greg Bonson.
Okay. So,
a Christian apologist and philosopher,
yes,
who is giving a lecture at Arizona State University.
So this is
recorded underwater.
What happens when
Dr. Bonson is at ASU years and years ago talking, and he has a pagan, self-professed pagan that comes in to ask a question.
How about if we say two more questions?
Two more, and then we'll go.
Okay. Thanks for your patience.
It'll clear up here, guys.
Well, we got two already.
So is it an A-truck?
Discrimination, right? Okay, here and then here, and then we'll be done.
I'm a pagan, and I live my life by the book and reading, which is Antoine Manuel's self-will. Seriously, as long as you're harming nobody else, you're free to do whatever you want. The only
Whoa.
Yes.
Why am I not allowed to harm other people?
Because that is the only sin that there is. Whenever you harm somebody,
who says that you're
wrong, that's for you.
Well, so what? Who says that's a sin? Why shouldn't I harm other people?
It doesn't have to be told by anybody. To live in a civilization, you have to have that law.
Okay, so what if I don't want to live in a civilization? Or what if I want everybody else?
No, one at a time, you guys. You
have an advantage over me here.
And you can go live on an island by yourself, and you can't go live. You're living with every one of the persons.
No, you're not hearing my challenge here. What I'm saying is, you don't have the right to tell me to go live on an island. And if I want to harm you, I'm going to harm you. That's what your worldview grants me. I don't have to believe that as a Christian. I won't harm you because I have another ethic. So when you say, you're a pagan, and this is the one sin that everybody has to recognize, I'm saying, hey, pagan, why should anybody recognize even that sin? On what basis? On your sake, bro?
Does anybody recognize even your sin?
Well, I don't think anybody should recognize them because I said so. Only if God has revealed himself, I said if God has revealed himself, if he's revealed himself in the scriptures and I've properly interpreted them and so forth, then that goes beyond our personal choices. But I would never say to anybody, even when I preach in a Christian church, don't do this because I say so. But I put it back in your face. If you tell me not to harm you and there's no God that you're appealing to, I say, why should I listen to you? It's your word against mine. It's different strokes for different
groups. Well, you claim that the Bible is the word of God, is your word against mine, or that word against mine.
No, as I said,
it's just a book. You know, anybody could have written it. You know, anybody, if somebody
that
wrote
is a
book and it's found thousands of years ago,
that's right, that is one hypothesis.
That doesn't mean that it's true.
No, and I haven't said that it is just because I said that it is. I said, in answer to this question here, it would take a while. We'd have to go into looking at other religions. We'd have to look at all the objections against the Bible, whatever. The Bible is not the Word of God because I came here tonight and said, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. What I'm saying is, I'm ready to defend that philosophically, historically, logically, whatever. Maybe I will, maybe I won't persuade you, but I am not, don't take me wrong, I am not saying you have to believe it because I said so. But you told me that I have to believe I shouldn't harm other people because you said so. And all I'm saying is, friend, you don't have any authority to tell me not to hurt other people.
All right, there you go. That was Dr. Bonson. That's a special clip, not actually accessible in a lot of places. That was him at ASU speaking to a self-professed pagan on morality, and I think it was a demonstration of a devastating critique to an unbelieving worldview to say, just on my authority, I say so. You can't do this because I say so. And Dr. Bonson just goes right to the heart of it. Who says I have to listen to you? You're not in charge of anybody. You don't have any authority to decree that over me. Excellent display of the arbitrary nature of a worldview that abandons God as the foundation. Get ready for more, guys, right here at ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
Apologia Radio, guys. If you haven't done so, check out the past episodes. Excellent resources, equipping, training, helping you to understand what the Word of God says, helping us to grow together as a church. Excellent guests, theologians, scientists, apologists. Amazing episodes. Blessed to be a part of this show. All to the glory of God. Not to us, but to Him be the glory. So we're back, Apologia Radio. Right now, we are going to play some kind of best of moments. I mean, these obviously, I'm sure you have lots of your own favorites, but I thought these would be some helpful ones. We're going to get to some good ones. You guys, many of you guys already know about coming up here soon with Bonson. But I wanted to play an additional clip from the Barker-Wilson debate on should religion and government be kept strictly separate. Believe me, you need to check it out. It's awesome. It really is an excellent, excellent debate. Barker has debated Wilson on a number of occasions, I think at least twice, and both those debates are just really, really, really good. I mean, when it comes to the epistemology points, when it comes to, you know, the issues of proof and evidence and God, excellent, but also just the punchiness of Douglas Wilson with Dan Barker is just really cool. So this is on this is Douglas Wilson cross examining Dan Barker on the government debate, and it's the issue of morality that comes up. So here you go.
Okay, this is something that's come up a number of times. You defined morality for us according to your system. You said that morality acts in ways that minimize is to act in a way that will minimize harm. Why?
Well, to clarify it,
Here, real fast commentary, quickly. Act in ways that minimize harm. Why? Now, the atheist hears the question "why," and they say, "Well, let me kind of figure it out. I mean, okay, because you know it's going to hurt other people, because you know we're not going to, flourish and survive. It's going to not be good for our species." Da 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 da. And they think that they've answered it. When they provide the answer like that, they think that, well, this is the answer. Mm. Isn't that great? Like, I have a reason here because it's not going to allow us to flourish. But see, watch this. What's the underlying assumption that is begging the question? Why should anybody survive? Mm-hmm. Why is there any human value to the human race at all? And the atheist skips that. He's image of God. He's suppressing the truth. And so he skips that major point. And so what they do is they want the assumption granted that human life is valuable, has dignity, and should be preserved. But see, that's the very thing that's being questioned, you see? Mm. And so when Wilson asks him this question, Barker can't see it. He can't see it. But you're going to hear how it kind of plays out here.
person can be called morality, can be called moral, who intends to act in ways that minimize harm in the world. Okay.
You're allowing for accidents and that.
Yeah, because you might try and fail, or in fact, you might not try and succeed, and you can't be accidentally moral, but. And you might try your best and not have enough information and make the wrong decision. But as long as your intention is to act in ways that minimize harm, by definition, you are called moral or ethical. And this is what morality means. When you're talking about morality, you're talking about how do we get along? How do we avoid harm? How do we avoid violence? How do we successfully navigate through this world that we bump into other things and other people as physical organisms? Because that's what we are. We are a mass of atoms fizzing, basically. But an amazing organization of that mass of atoms that is fizzing with no heaven above us.
It's
incredible.
So there you go. So notice, I want the assumption granted that you should preserve life and minimize harm,
right.
But we're just a mass of atoms fizzing with no heaven above us, only sky. You can't bring those two things together. He wants, just grant me this, human value, life, dignity, we should preserve this, it's valuable. But he says that's the very thing that's being questioned. And you haven't demonstrated as an atheist that there is inherent value and dignity and worth that should be upheld for the human being. You haven't demonstrated it because in Barker's system, all we are is stardust.
Right.
I've debated Dan Barker, had a discussion with him on the radio program, and he granted that we're cosmic broccoli. He granted that we're just stardust. And so there's just this internal conflict and contradiction between all that he is saying on one hand and then on the other hand, even in the space of just 15 seconds there.
Yeah.
In the space of just 15 seconds, minimize harm. That is by definition why, and then we're just a mass of atoms fizzing. So,
answering your question about morality first. Morality basically means acting in ways that do not cause harm. And
so why? That's what I'm asking you.
Because
why?
By nature, physical organisms naturally recoil from harm. I already spelled that out.
No, I recoil from harm being done to me, but that's not morality. That's called a nervous system.
Yeah, but still... I know that's not morality, but you know that if you stick my hand in the fire, that my hand is, I'm probably going to feel the same pain you do. You know that I'm also a sentient physical organism in the same environment you're in. So if I want to call myself a moral person, and there is no such thing as morality with a capital M. There is no cosmic thing called morality. It's a label that we use. And a lot of religious people make this mistake of reifying words. They think, oh, morality. How do we find morality? As if it were some big mystery. And a lot of churches have a lot of investment in keeping morality this big mystery, because then we need a code of commandments or some rules, or how do we do that, you know? And come to my church and then I'll tell you how to do that. Morality is not complicated. It's simply acting in a way that tries to result in the least amount of harm in the world. You have to define what harm is, obviously, and then you also have to use reason to evaluate the various consequences, the relative merits of the various consequences of your actions, and say, well, as far as I know, this action will result in this one, so you're going to have to do a calculation.
Right.
The brain is a calculating machine. You're going to have to calculate. And based on what I know, I'm going to make this decision that results in the end with less harm in the world. That's what morality means. Morality doesn't mean flattering the ego of some sovereign God who wants to be worshipped and praised and told how good he is. How does that help morality?
So,
morality doesn't boil down to telling somebody how good he is.
So if there were a system, a religious system in the world that repudiated the minimization of harm, or perversely adopted as one of their tenets of worship the maximization of harm to others, that would be immoral.
Yes, because
okay.
of our common shared human nature.
Why should they listen to you?
Well, if they don't, we have systems of law and self-defense. We have ways of protecting ourselves from people that are mentally unhealthy who would try to act in that way.
You'll harm them. You'll impose on them.
Well, I will only harm them as minimally necessary. I will not... Do you understand that? I will not impose the death penalty on someone just because God's will is offended. I will only say, in order to stop you from harming my family, I'm going to have to try to do what's minimally necessary not out of vengeance or anger or out of whatever. I'm going to try to stop that harm from happening. That's why we have laws. That's why we have a government to enforce that morality.
Now, I understand a quarrel. You know, two animals could fight, two dogs could fight over a piece of meat. But it would be strange to have the dog stop and say, one say to the other, you ought to have let me have it because I was here first. The fight is simple to understand. It's simply, I want it, I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to protect my own turf or food or whatever. But the morality is an appeal to this, a standard that's over the both. And when one person appeals to a moral standard, they're appealing to a standard that the other person, or the other group, or the other entity has an obligation to recognize as authoritative. If you simply say...
They don't have an obligation.
They don't have any obligation.
No.
So how is it moral?
Those of us who consider ourselves to be mentally healthy and moral have an obligation to minimize harm. That person has no obligation. There's no ought over that person.
Why do you get to...
Boom. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm. He wants that gimme.
The gimme. Mm-hmm. But then when you press and press and press and press and press and you display, wait a minute, we're a bag of atoms, we're fizzing, you got two dogs fighting, they both want the same thing, they're fighting, and you know, you're appealing to something that's above them. And then finally Barker will do this. He did this on the show with me as well. He just admits it.
Yeah.
Cosmically speaking, it doesn't matter what happens when Stardust bumps into Stardust. So it's almost like it's just bluff and bluster, and then beyond that, it's just beating the air.
Yeah.
It's like the atheist wants to just say, you know, minimize harm. You say, well, why? Where's the objective thing outside of you and your own personal preference? And he says, well, no, you don't have to. You're not obligated. You don't have to.
That reminds me, in the table talk
yeah.
I read the other day, I'll go ahead and read the last part. It's perfect for this. It says, human beings have a universal sense of oughtness. We know that we ought to meet certain standards. We know that we ought to be better than we are. And so we are always trying to improve ourselves morally, physically, spiritually, and so forth. This oughtness testifies to the universal knowledge that there is a transcendent standard that we fail to meet. And we share the gospel, or as we share the gospel, we should point to this sense in order to help people understand their guilt before God.
There you go. So here's what's really important. As we do this in an apologetic sense, notice what Wilson does there. He does not maneuver off of his basic commitment to Christ as Lord. He is assuming the word of God and God's transcendent character and everything else as he moves forward. But as he approaches the unbelieving worldview, he's confronting the very foundations. Barker won't even touch it, but he does engage in an internal conflict where he says we're atoms, we're fizzing, there's no heaven above us. And then he says, well, you're not obligated, and you know, there's no ought above any of us. And yet here he is spelling out ought. You ought to minimize harm.
Yeah.
You ought to stop this. You ought to do this. Do you notice that? He said there's no oughts,
yeah,
but you ought to minimize harm. You see the dialectical tension that goes on there between what Barker says on the one hand and then the other? It's a demonstration of the collapse of the unbelieving worldview. But the problem is that someone like Dan Barker is such a sweet guy at times, and he's a very intelligent guy. He can sound very erudite. He can pull together complex strings of discussion and sound very complex. But the truth is it comes down to you're just a bag of atoms fizzing, and you don't have any odds whatsoever. There's nothing above any of us. And if anybody disagrees with that, listen to the discussion I had with him where I discussed rape with him on the show. And I said, well, ultimately, though, we're cosmic broccoli. We're Stardust. What's the problem with Stardust bumping into Stardust? And Dan Barker said, and if you're a fan of the show, you heard it every single time we played the show at the beginning of the episode, what's the problem with Stardust bumping into Stardust? And he says, in the cosmic picture, nothing. It won't matter. You see, that's the point there. You push and push and push. And if Barker begins to say, well, I say so, point out to Barker, you told us we're cosmic broccoli in a universe that doesn't care. We're a bag of fizzing atoms. Your likes or dislikes are really ultimately irrelevant in the cosmic picture or in the ought picture, which you deny there are any ultimate oughts anyways. And if you say society has huddled together and decided on these things, well, then now you're in a real pickle. Because then you have no complaint against Stalin, Pol Pot. You have no complaint against Hitler because their society determined... I know it looks like a person. It's not a person. It's a Jew.
Yep.
We can kill it. Do you see the point? And anybody who argues for moral transformation in a society when the laws are one way, that person becomes the immoral person because society has already determined that you can enslave black people. Get it? ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
Thank you. with it, but nowhere in smoke, I'm still in it. I'm still with it.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. The ninja, the bear, the girl.
Nope.
And the comedian.
Yo.
Anthony Linares.
The funny guy.
The funny guy.
Hey, dude, congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you.
On the baby.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Baby girl. Baby how many girl. Weeks long is your wife?
She's 19 weeks.
19 weeks, yeah. And that's a baby.
It is a baby.
That's a baby in there.
Day one.
Yeah, praise God. Amen. Okay, dude. So we're back, and we're going to continue on with some more clips from these debates. We have Bonson coming up soon, and I think even a clip from Dr. White, just epic moments in a Christian atheist debate. But what's up, Anthony? You got something you want
to
say?
Yeah, you know, listen to all these debates and things that you teach us in the apologetics course. You're always, you know, pointing out the gimmies that they want. And that's starting to get annoying when I'm listening to these now because I'm able to catch it. And it was just like, you know, when I was waking at Circle K this morning before we came into the studio, is that I'm just knowing everybody wants a gimme. Everybody wants a gimme. I'm going inside to pay for gas and get a soda, and some dude catches me. He's like, hey, man, you know, you got any change? And I was like, well, I'm going to get something to drink. If I come back out and you pick up some trash around here, you know, I'll give you a couple bucks. And he got mad. He's like, why are you trying to put me down, man? You trying to oppress me? I'm like, put you down to oppress you? I gave you a job.
Yeah.
Now you're fired.
Nice.
Yeah, he didn't think that was funny.
He didn't like that one?
No.
No, you got to be careful, man. You're near South Phoenix playing like that.
I grew up in West Phoenix.
He fits in, though.
I do fit in. That's the reason why I moved to Mesa, because everybody where I'm from has his haircut. I guess it would be different if everybody can see me. We're going to have to put a picture up.
Yeah. You do have a beard, though.
I do have a beard. It's finally, it's not a fetus beard anymore.
No.
it's a full-blown baby beard.
You know, nice. Speaking of the way you look, we went to a wedding Friday that Jeff did. It was an awesome wedding, by the way.
It was.
It was beautiful.
So I let Anthony know how much I appreciate him being so supportive of his pregnant wife. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. And I was like, yeah, putting on that sympathy weight, man, that's awesome.
That was hardcore. You know, that was hardcore.
I couldn't let her and your mom look like that, so.
Let you know.
Dude, you don't even know my mom, dude.
I know your mom.
Moving on.
Yeah, it's moving on. So actually, I have a clip from the wedding.
The wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Here you go.
And love, true love, will follow you.
Well, Jeff did the wedding, so that's Jeff.
That's me. Yeah.
That's recording me. Of Jeff.
That is one of the best shows, right?
It's a movie, but yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Am I right or am I right or am I right?
You're just setting yourself up to use all these clips.
I know, I'm just getting ready. I'm going to say this and then play this clip area, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Am I right or am I right or am I right?
All right, so here we go. Let's continue on. This is more from the discussion of morality between Barker, Wilson, in the should God and government or keep being religion strictly separate, something like that. Okay, here we go.
Well, if they decide in ways that result in the maximization of harm in the world, then those of us who are mentally healthy will say that was wrong and we'll protect ourselves from nutcases like that. We'll try to put them in jail.
Why are they a nutcase? Are they a nutcase? And what gives you the right to determine that this is a nutcase? At all, your cosmic broccoli. Yeah. That is a phrase. If people don't know it, that Dan Barker used cosmic broccoli. That's all we are, and he's right. By the way, if evolution is true, naturalistic materialism. If we came here by evolutionary process that did not have us in mind, from nothing to simpler biological organisms to more complex biological organisms, then really in reality we're cosmic broccoli. You know, broccoli grew up through these evolutionary processes, and so do we.
That will never be his best life now if he continues the way of that thinking process.
I just don't know about that, Dan Barker.
I don't know.
I just don't know.
You know, that's what laws are for.
You're assuming what you need to prove. Why are you the mentally healthy one?
By definition, people who act in ways that are more peaceable and less violent, that allow for more of a freedom of survival of our organisms, by definition, we call that good, because it's positive to the organism. You don't have to decide it. I don't have to decree it. I mean, you and I both know that as human beings, there are certain things that harm us, and we don't decree that they should harm us. We just know.
You draw the circle at the human race. Why is it inherently immoral for someone else to have an ethical system that draws the circle a little smaller at the Aryan race, for example?
Well, I will judge whether or not their actions are resulting in more or less harm in the world. And if they are off in some
they get
way.
To, no, why do you get to judge them? Why don't they
because
get to judge
I
you?
Because I do. We do. As human beings, we do judge. That's right. What we do. All right? That's part of our survival in the world. We are the moral animal.
That's part of the image of God in you. You judge.
Well,
you know what is right and wrong, and you don't.
Judgment
have
is not a judgment is a mental calculation, a value calculation in a functioning brain. It does not transcend the mind. Is a computer a god because it does calculations? Our brains are computers. They compute. They make value computations. That doesn't mean it's a god.
Why should? But you've just told me why should I listen to you any more than I listen to a computer?
You don't have to. You don't have to listen to me.
Well, I'm not.
Well, good. But if you act in a way that threatens me, right, whether you're mentally healthy or not, or whether you're a Hitler or a John Calvin, if you...
Oh, that was dirty.
Mm.
That was dirty.
Yeah.
Comparing Hitler to John Calvin. Amazing.
If you act in ways that threaten me and those that I love and those that I value, then I will do something to prevent that harm. I will act in a way that tries to minimize your harm.
But that's just a fight. That's not an appeal to morality. Two animals can fight over a piece of meat. That's just a fight. All right? One threatens, one encroaches on the other's turf, one wants to take the other's food, someone wants to threaten the cubs or whatever. That's just a fight. An appeal to morality is you ought not to behave that way. And well, the other dog says, why not?
Well, because that's I'll put you question. In jail. That's why not. Or see, I'll that's restrict some of your freedoms.
But that's not morality at all. That's simply coercion. And at the end of the day, if there is nothing over us but sky, at the end of the day, that's all you have is raw power.
Well, there's nothing wrong with power when it is exercised in order to minimize harm. Sometimes we have to do that. Power can be good. And what's wrong with raw power? I mean, power is, you know, if you're trying to cause harm, if you're trying to inflict violence, then by definition, you are an immoral, unethical, dangerous person.
What do you mean by definition? Is this
by definition, by human beings, we have social conventions and we have words that we agree what they mean. You don't even have a definition for the word morality. You just say God. You don't even attempt to define the word.
Okay,
at least
I'll
we humanists.
Exodus 20.
At least we humanists have thought it through.
Here's the difficulty. When you say, you're just assuming, this is another one of Dr. Stokes' hidden assumptions, you're assuming that the limits of the shared experience are the human race. Why don't we go broader and take it out into the animal kingdom? Or why don't we go narrower and narrow it to the self-interest of a particular nation, Aryan race, or a tribe, or a particular entity? Were the Aztecs immoral for sacrificing humans the way they did?
Yes, because their actions did not intend to result in minimizing harm. They were causing more harm than was necessary. You and I can declare that they were acting immorally. They may not have thought that. Their mindset might have been totally torched.
So that one Aztec priest at the top of the ziggurat is talking to another one, and the line of slaves is going down over the, you know, around the street corner, and they're going to kill them all today. And one of the priests says to the other, you know, Barker might not like this.
That was an excellent, excellent cap. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Can we just get 3 minutes of your time? Give or take a second or two. So when they ask you about the culture, tell them I know it well. Hey! Come on. This is what you get when you mix Tony Hawk with Ice Cube, NWA, and the Bones Brigade. Hey. Let me talk to them. Hey, I'll catch me hopping off Chamba, North Corner with CNT, or 20 minutes east to South Central.
What's up, y'all?
Broken families and pasta, black rocket.
Back with the girl, the bear, Anthony Linares. Where can they go to get your stuff? You got like a website?
You guys can go to facebook.com/AnthonyJrComedian. If you guys are on other social media like Twitter, AJrComedian, you can find me there. And then if you want to come meet me, I'm always at Apologia Church, so come check it out, you guys.
Yeah, y'all. All right, dude. So you got some more to say?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was trying to think, what can I say on the radio show that people can kind of repeat and say at work or in front of their grandmas and other things? I don't want to keep pushing the edge. So I thought of something that I can bring along. Is that cool? That
yeah.
I can give you guys,
yeah.
Maybe you guys can say at the water cooler?
Yeah.
So after a long day of working in the garden, Adam comes home, and Eve's got this attitude just written all over her face, and he's like, what's going on? She's like, where were you at? He's like, what are you talking about? I was working on the other end. You know, God was putting some new plants in, and he needed some more help, and I had to stay late. And she's like, you were out there with another woman, weren't you? He's like, another woman? Are you? You're the only woman on earth. So she drops it. She's like, okay, go ahead. So he takes a shower, eats his dinner, he goes to sleep. About a half hour later, he wakes up. She's poking him. Poking him. He's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm counting your ribs.
Woo!
Get
that's
it?
Pretty good Christian joke. Nice job. Nicely done.
Right on.
Very
I'm
good.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. Here we go, guys. Epic moment of Gordon Stein versus Greg Bonson's debate. Epic moment. Check this out, y'all.
I heard you mention logical binds and logical self-contradictions in your speech. You did say that?
I said it. I used that phrase, yes.
Do you believe there are laws of logic, then?
Absolutely.
Are they universal?
They're agreed upon by human beings. They aren't laws that exist out in nature. They are.
Are they simply conventions, then?
They're conventions, but they're conventions that are self-verifying.
Are they sociological laws or laws of thought?
They are laws of thought which are interpreted by men and promulgated by men.
Are they material in nature?
How can a law be material?
That's a question I'm going to ask you.
Thank you. I would say no.
That's a sign that you have an opportunity to cross-examine Dr. Bonson.
Dr. Bonson, would you call God material or immaterial?
Immaterial.
What is something that's immaterial?
Something not extended in space.
Can you give me an example of anything other than God that's immaterial?
Laws of logic.
Epic moment right there. Classic moment of Gordon Stein and Greg Bonson's debate on the existence of God. Speaking right there, that was the first cross-examination period. Encourage you guys all to get it. If you haven't listened to it yet, you must, as a Christian, listen to that debate between Stein and Bonson on the existence of God. It was one of the most beautiful displays, I think, of faithfulness to the Lord, a clear communication of the biblical worldview, and at the same time, a total, utter devastation of the unbelieving worldview and atheistic thought. It was unbelievable. Let's just talk about it for a second. So if you didn't catch what was happening in that first portion there, that was Greg Bonson, the Christian, who was actually cross-examining Stein, and he was asking about laws of logic. He says to him, as a materialist, he believes that all that exists is matter, mm-hmm. a naturalist, an atheist, he says, do you believe in laws of logic? And he says, are they universal? And he says, Stein says, as an atheist, trying to be consistent, he says, they're not laws that exist out in nature. They're agreed upon by men. So that means conventional. Conventional meaning not workable, but the conventions of people, you know, we agree on these things. And so he says, listen, here's the amazing collapse of this guy's system. They're conventions that are self-verifying. So they don't exist out in nature, but they're conventions agreed upon by men, okay, laws that we come up with in our own minds. We say these are the laws that are self-verifying. They don't actually exist out in nature, but we just kind of create them conventionally. Right. Or agree upon them, but they're self-verifying. But they don't exist outside of our conventional. Do you see the problem there? Am I the only one that sees it right off the bat? They're conventional. We agree upon it. That's where they come from. But they don't exist out in nature, but they're self-verifying. Mm. Self-verifying laws that don't exist outside of the convention, right, that we've created. And so Bonson says to him, Are these laws of logic material in nature? Are they made of matter? And he says, how can a law be material? He recognizes the
Don't
law.
Be ridiculous.
He recognizes the law cannot be material. It must be what? Immaterial. It has to be. And then he goes after Bonson and says, is God material or immaterial? And he says, immaterial. He says, what other than God is immaterial? And he says, laws of logic. And just kabloom. That was the beautiful moment display of the collapse of materialism. It's just such an encouraging thing to see God faithfully defended in that way. Apologia Radio. Apologia right back.
We'll be right back.
Strength is gone. You're
the one who calls me. The Bible says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, are found, are hidden in Christ. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's the very foundation and basis of all knowledge, thinking, rational, coherent thought, starting with the self-attesting, self-revelation of the living God who speaks in creation and has spoken specifically in his word and in his eternal son in redemption. You can come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, as Lord. He died for sinners. He was righteous. He perfectly obeyed the law of God, died in the place of sinners, was buried and rose again, is ascended and seated. And he calls men everywhere, commands men everywhere to repent, turn from sin, to trust in Christ as Savior and Lord for forgiveness and salvation. There's the hope you have in the good news of God, the good news of God's kingdom. Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, reigning now, not waiting to reign, seated, reigning now, putting all enemies under his feet. All the nations belong to Jesus. And God in Psalm chapter 2 says to the kings, be warned, O kings, obey the Son or you'll perish. Amazing last clip from Bonson. What did you say when we left the show? You got to say it again.
Bring it on down to Bonsonville.
I love it. You had to hear that. All right. So we're back in it. Do I have something we got to do before we actually jump in? We're good to go?
Good.
Good to go.
Good. Okay, here we go. So this is a clip from Douglas Wilson debating Barker. This is, does the triune God of Scripture live? And this is their second cross-examination period. Excellent resource. Go and check it out. And this is a portion where I believe Barker's trying to demonstrate some sort of a contradiction in the Scriptures. And he's referring to the fact that the Bible says, you shall not kill. And what Wilson tries to do is demonstrate to him that the word kill there is reference to murder, but it didn't say in the Bible that there wasn't ever a justifiable killing of another human being in reference to capital punishment. So this is really good. You got to hear this exchange. You guys ready? Have you heard this before, Joy? Have you heard it? Wilson versus Barker on the triune.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite part of the debate. Here we go, guys. It's fun.
Quoted in the New Testament. Greek has a word for murder and a word for killing. When the Old Testament is quoted in Greek, it has the word for murder out of the Ten Commandments.
So the Greek goofed. The Greek translator goofed. Because the Hebrew scriptures does not say murder. Look it up. The word ratzach does not mean murder in Hebrew. It means simply killing. And it's committitted by animals. Do animals murder? It's something that happens when somebody accidentally...
So it's not
murder. When God said thou shalt not kill, he said thou shalt not kill.
In Exodus 20, God said you shall not kill. In Exodus 21, he requires the death penalty for certain offenses. It sounds like you're saying the Bible's contradictory.
The Bible is contradictory.
Now, do you think it's contradictory between Exodus 20 and Exodus 21?
Well, I don't know. Where's my Bible? So,
are you seriously maintaining that Moses was a pacifist?
No, Moses was a bloodthirsty leader of a bloodthirsty religion.
When Moses was up on the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments, he was looking at the tablets, walking down from the mountain. Did he stop up short when he got to the commandment not to kill? Did he say, no killing at all?
Well, if he understood Hebrew, that's what he should have said. If he understood Hebrew.
Do you think he did understand Hebrew?
Well,
epic. epic moment. I've probably listened to that 10 times. I absolutely love that portion there because, here's the thing. I'm going to say this with respect. And with no haughtiness or arrogance, listen, I'm under God's grace, and I have to make sure I put this up front when I critique something like this, because I don't want it to be misunderstood. I'm a sinner. I'm under God's grace. My heart has been changed by the grace of God. I don't deserve Jesus. I don't deserve salvation, forgiveness. I should go to hell. I deserve his condemnation because I am worthy of it. And so, when I come at this as a Christian to critique this, it's just by way of saying, redemption is available. It's there in Christ. You can turn from this kind of futile thinking. But, this is the kind of example that I like to point to at times. Atheism does very, very well in blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Atheism does very, very well in vlogs, video blogs. Atheism does fantastic in pop culture books like, say, Dawkins' The God Delusion or How Religion Poisons Everything by Christopher Hitchens. Those are books that just sold like hotcakes. Do hotcakes really sell well? Is that just an expression?
At McDonald's,
they do. Yeah, they do. Yeah. McDonald's used to have delicious breakfasts.
They still do.
Yeah, do they really? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I used to remember the little styrofoam plate. With
yeah,
like
they still have that.
You still have that?
It's the big breakfast or whatever.
That's exciting. All right. After the show, you and me. You and me, Luke, all the way. Yes.
Hotcakes.
Hotcakes.
I think it's too
Anyways,
late.
These books sell like hotcakes. And I'm going to use that word. I like it. I like it. What sells better? Maybe soda pop sells pretty good?
Soda pop.
Soda pop. All right, so anyway.
Your mom.
Yeah. So they sell really well. But here's the deal. You get atheism into an actual dialogue and discussion and debate. Put it in front of somebody on a stage. Put it in a dialogue or discussion on the radio. It's not to say that Christians are perfection. Like, you know, we've got all these things. We make mistakes as well, and we should acknowledge those mistakes when we do. But this is a classic example of when atheism has to actually defend itself on stage and defend the issue of contradictions. Uh-huh. Let's say, Bible contradicts itself, but it actually has to defend that thesis. Uh-huh. It doesn't work. It doesn't engage. And so, you know, classic example in the last 2 weeks, Natural Mama did a fantastic job putting together a video blog. But as soon as you actually have to engage, there is either no opportunity, no willingness, or when you actually see an engagement, it's not really engagement. It's just bluff and bluster. So anyway, comments on the Barker-Wilson portion.
No, I don't. I think we covered it.
You see, this is so vocab take note.
Yeah.
Vocab take note that when I make the offer as a standing offer to make comments, sometimes we just...
Well, also, they can't accuse us of not having good content because they have all our guests on after we've had them on.
Glory. Glory, Joy.
So if we don't have good content, then they don't have good content.
Do you see J-Man? J-Man just gave the fist thing in there. He's like, wow, that was actually excellent. All right, classic moment right here. Got to play this. This is actually Dan Barker and our boy James White, one of my heroes of the faith. He had Dan Barker in a discussion, and they were discussing the issue that was Jesus a myth, I think was the topic of the debate or something like that. But this is
Are
the
we still on that?
This is the classic don't quote me, bro.
Classic bow tie.
What happened is they're at the beginning of the debate. It's the famous don't quote me, bro.
Oh, okay.
And this is where at the beginning of the debate, and Dan Barker doesn't want James White to quote his books.
Dr. White, you have 20 minutes to make your opening statement.
Well, it is a pleasure to be with you this still morning, I guess. It's unusual to do debates in the morning, but I commend all of you for being here this morning for an exceptionally important discussion on the subject of Jesus and whether he was cut from the mythological cloth of other religions or, as Christians have believed, whether Jesus is in fact unique as the Son of God. Now, in my opening, I can only respond to what Dan himself has published before. I found it fascinating that almost none of the sources that Dan just used, he used in his book, Godless. So in this first, I'll be responding to his published work. Then the rebuttal will go to what he has presented this morning.
Can I make
morning.
A point of order here, moderator? We're not debating my book. We're debating the topic of it. I may have changed my mind in the book. I may not have, thought it was important. So we are not debating my book.
Can I respond to that? When you're in a scholarly debate and you've published a book, what you've published in the public realm is... fair game. It is what you yourself have presented. Now, if you want to say, after I'm done here, I repudiate the book that's for sale in the back, that would be fine.
But I'm asking
but as a scholar,
is he in line or not for doing that?
I don't see anything wrong with quoting your book, Dr. Barker, or Mr. Barker. Do you have an objection to him?
I object because we're not debating my book today. We're debating...
Mr. Barker, I have never engaged anyone in a debate who objected to their own published materials being what was cited. I would love if people would quote my books in my debates because that's what I have presented to people. I cannot believe that there would ever be an objection to my citation of your own book.
I can't imagine.
Did you address this subject in your book? Is there not an entire section on this subject?
Yes, but you don't know that I may have changed my mind in the meantime on that, so it's unfair. I may have changed my mind about Mithra, for example.
Is your book for sale about?
Yes, it is. But we're not debating my book tonight.
How can we have a debate?
Let's debate the issues. Let's not debate my book. Let's debate the issues.
Mr. Barker, I have on the screen quotations from you. I'm going to be dealing with the sources that you used and the arguments that you've used. That is the form of scholarly debate.
But we are not
believe.
I'm sorry, but we are not debating my book tonight, am and I think he's out of line. And for the record, I think it's inappropriate. I didn't quote anything you wrote. I stuck to the actual.
That's the point. That's the problem. We need to deal with what someone has actually put into the public realm. Your book is for sale. I cannot believe on any possible academic or scholarly level. I have done more debates than you have. This is the first time anyone has ever objected to the citation of their own published material, which is still in print. If you had pulled it out and repudiated it, that would be one thing. Are you going to do that?
The moderator has already spoken.
All right.
I think it's reasonable, then, to use a source that is available on the topic, isn't it, in your mind?
Of course.
If there's something out there, whether it's quality or not.
This is a presentation that I have put together, and Dan has given his objection to quoting him. I'm sorry, but I do not see how you can have a meaningful dialogue on this subject if what the person himself has put into the public realm is not available. I would just like to...
There you go. So that was the don't quote me, bro, clip up on Dr. White's YouTube channel, Dr. Oakley 1689.
That was awesome.
You know where that 1689 is from, right?
I do.
What? Baptist Confession?
Yeah. It's not from the West.
We love you, Presbies. You know you're my heroes. Don't be all hurting now.
It's the Baptist one, not the West.
Because I mentioned the 1689. We love you very, very much.
It's the more biblically correct one.
But 1689 is totes.
Totes correct?
Totes better.
Correct. Totes better.
We love you guys.
Totes
all right,
biblical.
So the commentary on that. Here's the thing. One thing I've been encouraged by with Dr. White's ministry over the years is just how careful he is. That's been something that's really encouraged me. And at times, even when I was really young, really kind of set me on the right path and corrected me at times, just how cautious and careful he is about accurate representation of his opponents and really actually assuming that that's what they're going to give back to him. This is another really great example. Is if people didn't catch what was going on there, Dan Barker has a book that was for sale in the back of the debate. So there's books on the table that are being sold at this debate that actually is – that's what Dr. White was actually pulling from in his quotations. And it wasn't just a hodgepodge of other references about other topics. It was on this topic.
Right.
Well, and he didn't even give him a chance to misquote him or quote something that he retracted in his own beliefs or to talk about something that wasn't about the issue at hand. He didn't even give him a chance. He just said, nope.
All the other stuff I've said,
you can never reference that.
Yeah.
But that makes zero sense.
Well, I think it was a great here's why. When people try to take a stab at this mythological Jesus nonsense, by the way, people even like Bart Ehrman, like it to call essentially calls people who deny the historical Jesus, calls them stupid.
Yeah.
In the first couple chapters of his book about the historical Jesus, Bart Ehrman's like, don't dare do that. No historian's going to make that kind of a claim. Well, Dan Barker actually has the gall and the nerve to actually try in public debate.
Yeah.
But so he writes about it. This stuff is easily refutable. You can easily get it out of the way. But he writes about it. It's in the book. He knows Dr. White's going to tear it apart. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't want to quote it, because he knows and he knows it's in print now. It's been refuted, and so Dr. White's going to handle it in a capable fashion.
Yeah.
That's why he actually, in an opening statement of a debate, interrupts the opening statement.
Yeah.
Never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen.
Well, it's against the rules.
Yeah, point of order, point of order.
To do that.
You can't quote from my book that's for sale on the back that talks about this subject.
Right.
And I think it's just a great example of, again, my contention with love and respect for my atheist friends, family, just a great example of when atheism gets out from behind the books and the blogs and the comment boxes in Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
It can't stand on its own two feet. That is the girl, and we love you.
Thanks.
That's the bear.
Yo.
That's Anthony Linares.
I love my church.
I love you, dude. I love my church. I love my church. Get us an Apology at Church Sundays, 10 a.m. Embassy Suite, southwest corner of Rural and the 60 in Tempe, 10 a.m. Join us, apologyatchurch.com. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologyatchurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday morning, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.